Welcome back, 1121, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And ladies and gentlemen, a rare 11 o'clock hour arrival for Stephen Dinan today. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Hello, Andy.
All right. I got to tell you, when you posted this story a short while ago before I went on the air, I had to talk to you. This is mind-boggling to me. Feds released hundreds of immigrant murderers, drunk drivers, sex crime convicts. I mean, I'm reading down this list here. Where the heck did this come from?
They are numbers that have been, I guess, floating around. They are from Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They are official department numbers that I happened to obtain and was working on last week. At the same time, the Center for Immigration Studies obtained them and released a report this morning on them. And they are as you build. They are, we have a list of, there are 36,007 immigrants who were released, who had criminal convictions on their record that were released from ICE custody last year. All of these are people who are awaiting deportation proceedings. They're awaiting a judge's order. There are some part of the deportation proceedings, which means that ICE could keep them or keep almost all of them in detention if they wanted to, because they are awaiting some sort of deportation or a final judge's order to deport or a judge clearing them of deportation, whatever. They are in those proceedings, could be held, but the department has decided not to hold them. And what we got was a list of those 36,000, we got a list of the 87,000 criminal convictions that are divided among those 36,000. So some of them obviously have multiple convictions on their record. And the list of convictions is 116 homicide, flat-out homicides, dozens more of manslaughter, other types of homicide, hundreds of sexual assaults, literally thousands of drunk driving and drugged driving convictions on these people's records. So just, you know, the rap sheets are long, long, long for these criminals that have been released.
All right, so what does the administration say? My guess, they haven't gotten back to you yet?
Yeah, not as of now. And I've been bugging since last Friday, and so it's we'll see what they do say. You know, the main thing about this comes at a time when the administration says it doesn't need as many detention beds to hold immigrants awaiting deportation or who are in deportation proceedings. Earlier this year, so the current law that Congress passes every year says we need to have an average of 34,000 people every day held, or we fund 34,000 beds every day. The administration wants to drop that to about 30,500. They say that's enough for them to still keep what they call high-priority detainees off the streets. This chart from 2013 suggests that in that year, they didn't do a very good job of keeping a lot of or what you would think would be high-priority detainees off the streets. If they released 100 people with 116 murder convictions all told, a number of sex assaults, there's some really interesting categories on here, including the several dozen who were released that were that had convictions for flight or escape on their records. Those would be exactly the sort of people you'd think you'd be worried about fleeing or absconding once they're released yet again from these proceedings. So a lot of numbers there. They raise a lot of questions, and it will be very interesting to see if and when the government responds exactly what decisions they made. I can think of this gets very complex. There's a court case that happened about a decade or so ago where the Supreme Court ruled that because detention for immigration is not a criminal proceeding, it's an immigration proceeding, and they ruled that you can't hold somebody indefinitely in detention proceedings. So if a country, say Vietnam, is sort of notorious for not taking its immigrants back even after we try and send them back after they've completed their jail sentences or whatnot here, Vietnam won't take them back. Under this court decision, after they've been detained a certain amount of time, they are no longer able to be detained, and ICE releases them into the population. That's a fraction of these people. Most of these people, though, ICE just decided on its own decision-making, we don't think we have to hold them, we're releasing them.
Wow. And just to clarify, last year they did sort of the same thing, but they blamed it on sequestration, right?
Well, yeah, remember, then we talked about this at the time. This all gets a little bit mixed together, but last year they, in the middle of sequestration, right as we entered sequestration, or I guess it was maybe a couple of days ahead, it was the end of February, and sequestration kicked in March 1st, ICE released a couple thousand immigrants out of detention space, and they initially said, that's because of sequester. See, look what's going to happen if we go into sequester. We're going to have to release really bad people. Within a few days, they were saying, no, that's not because of that. It's because we were over budget on detention beds. You know, we were already detaining more than an average of 34,000 every day, and so we needed to come back into compliance, so we had to detain under 34,000 for a number of days in order to hit the average of 34,000 a day by the end of the year. So that was their defense, that they were over, basically over-detaining and had to release people, including a number of people with serious multiple felonies on their records, that they went out and actually said, no, we made a mistake. We have to recapture you and bring you back in. So that's all a very long way of saying, last year they ran into problems when they tried to release people. They knew they were releasing people that they shouldn't have released and had to go get them. We now know a much broader picture for the year in total, how many people they had to release, even when they had 34,000 beds. If they get their budget request this year, you can, and we drop that 34,000 number down to 30,500 or so, you can imagine how many more of these serious criminal convictions might end up out on the streets.
Mm. This is frightening. I mean, when you read... Honestly, Stephen, when I saw this story and started to read, I only needed to get to the second paragraph before I thought, what in the world are we doing in this country? All right, well, listen, I know you're busy, and I appreciate you giving me a time on such short notice, and we will talk again. Thank you.
My pleasure, Andy.
All right, Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor, just posted this story a short while ago. Saw it just before it went on the air, and really did want to talk to him about it. And again, folks, if you have the opportunity, read it. It's posted at WashingtonTimes.com right now. Feds released hundreds of immigrant murderers, drunk drivers, and sex crimes convicts. 15,000 drunk driving convictions, 1,317 domestic violence convictions, 2,700 sex crimes convictions, 4 that were listed as treason or sabotage. Then you've got a couple of dozen murderers. This is our immigration system at work in this country. How embarrassing, how frightening is this? And, of course, as Stephen says, no response from the Obama administration yet. Someone has some explaining to do, don't you think? All right, well, we are very, very... I believe this could be the latest spin of the wheel ever. In fact, we may spin the wheel, determine where we're going to start, but I probably won't pick it up until the 12 o'clock hour. That would be a first. That would be a first, ladies and gentlemen. Precedent setting. Mm-hmm. All right, so armed with that, are you ready to head over to the wheel? Yes, she is, and I could read her lips. It's about time, she said. All right, here we go. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Ah, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Weekend in Benghazi. Yes, a repeat performance of Benghazi Gate or whatever you want to call it, you know. I got to tell you, the lefties in the mainstream media, most of them, pounced on the right, and they did it early and often this weekend. And only one guy had the guts to stand up and challenge the left's argument, and that was Chris Wallace of Fox News. And we will get to that and all of the other stuff related to Benghazi and to Hillary and to Marco Rubio and to Elizabeth Warren, all kinds of things on the way, coming up in the next hour here on the program. 1129, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. I'll be right back.